coming anything on the show tonight. It would be better. Yep. Now, I've been trying to do it for a while so we could talk about the Baltimore Sauce of the Charter Conference a couple of weeks ago when some things came up and I haven't ever talked to him. Bad dude. Influential in the sauce world. Man, he got so much stuff he's accomplished. I don't have time to talk to you about it now. You can check out the interview later on when you get a chance, replay. He bad, man. He was on a movie set with Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez. What more do I need to say? Rumors say he had his own trailer on the set. That's what Ismael Otero said. Damn, that's just a few things that Evan has done. This guy's big time. He's major. I'm excited. It's an honor and a privilege, and it's going to be a nice interview. Yep. All right.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Earl Rush, and I'd like to welcome everyone to Straight Up Talk with Earl Rush and Eileen Torres. My co-host, Eileen Torres, is busy this today, so I'll be going one-on-one with Mr. Rivera himself. I first found out about Mr. Rivera when I was working with Kelvin Harris, my business partner on the All-Star Salsa Crew. And Kelvin, he said, okay, Earl, you know everybody. And Kelvin only deals with the hottest artists and the biggest acts out. So he said, go find who the hottest person is. I'm like, you know, I'm just really just getting into the game. I'm not going to perpetrate and act like I know who's hot and who's not. But I know who does because I know everybody. I called my man Ismael Otero. I said, Ismael, you know, Kelvin, we need some hot artists to go on the cruise with us. He said, who would you recommend? He said, Ebony Letters, up-and-coming star. He's coming up there. He's going to come up, and mark my words, he's going to be a big star. I said, okay, we're going to get Ebony Letters. Now, granted, we're just starting out. So when we have booked Ebony and everything, you know, at that time, I didn't realize how, even then, he was kind of big. You know, I didn't know how big and busy he was. I had no idea he was in South America. I made the ass out of you and me, and I thought he was in Jersey, New York somewhere. He's down in Chile. So I get a call from one of the biggest names in the salsa business, the Albert Torres. I said, hey, whoa, how you doing, Mr. Torres? I'm like, what you call me? How you get my name? He said, yeah, there's a my man ain't got his ticket yet to come on the cruise. I'm like, Mr. Torres, I'm going to be straight with you. I didn't realize that Edwin was in Chile, South America. I'm be straight. I'm not going to be able to bring this guy from South America to here. And it's cool, you know. I don't think he was happy about it. You know, he had his man. I was holding up his man's time, reserving his space. I didn't realize he was like that. So the first thing I want to ask you, Evan, we have a lot to cover. I know you're very busy. You're probably going to do some kind of project with somebody, be on the radio, be a DJ at Steve and something. You know, I don't want to hold you up, but I want to cover over some of the things you've done in the past, and I basically would like to cover what you have going on now. But my first question to you is, Mr. Rivera, now, guys, I don't really know Edwin Elmore. I know of him. I've followed his career for a while. I've had words with him. He's been very cordial to me. But I know about him. I feel like I know about him because I've been, like, following him. You know? So he's done a lot of big things. Mr. Rivera, what were you doing in Chile, South America? How did you get down there? I heard all kinds of things. I heard you was dancing and TV or whatever. I don't know. All kinds of stuff went on there. What was going on down there? Can you tell me? I just want
to know. Well, first, Earl, thank you so much for having me. To everybody watching right now, thank you for taking the time out of your day, of your evening, to watch this show. I know everything's opening up right now. People are getting ready to go to the club or do whatever they got to do because no one's home anymore. So shout out to Earl, Eileen Torres on continuing to do things like this, even though things are opening up. So super happy and honored to be here. Earl, first and foremost, that time you're talking about the cruise, this is straight up and talk. So we're going to be straight up and talk, all right? Yeah. I was 20, about 20 years old. And I remember that was the first time ever in my career where I was booked and then I didn't go, right? So I was like super devastated. I was super hurt. But at that time, I wasn't in the business of things, right? And as I got into the business of things and I got to understand, like, you know, what it takes to produce an event and stuff like that, you know, and I understood, like, why you couldn't fly me when you thought I was in New York or when you thought I was in LA. And I understood. And I'm like, man, like, I wish I would have known that back then, because then it would have not hurt or would have not hit me so hard back then, right? I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So, Earl, let me tell you something, man. That's water under the bridge. I know you've done a lot for the community. I'm giving you your flowers right now because a lot of people that are in the DMV area, Baltimore, Washington, you know, a lot of great artists are there, up and coming, or have just done such incredible work there. But you were one of the first to bring it out there. So I just want to say thank you. And to Eileen Torres as well. She's known me since I was a kid. I remember I met her at the Salsa Web convention in D.C. That's why I first met Eileen Torres, man. For those of y'all that don't know, the Salsa Web convention was the bomb.com. Right, Earl?
That's right. That's right.
People don't even know about those Salsa Web. We had one in Toronto. Man, good times. Good times. But anyway, back to Chile. So I was dating a girl at the time, Stephanie Stevenson, one of my good friends now. Shout out to the Stevenson sisters. She was Chilean, and her father had just passed away. So to honor her father, she wanted to perform in Chile. And at the time, I was dating her, and I was also her dance partner. So we went out to do a show in Chile in this really famous Chilean television show. It was called The Peapa. And we went there. They interviewed her. I danced with her. I was basically her backup dancer there. We were going to come back home, and that's it. It was just going to be a weekend gig. These producers saw us perform, they saw us dance, and they invited us to be part of Rojo Fama Contra Fama, which was like an American Idol mixed with So You Think You Can Dance, and it was in Chile, and it was broadcasting on DirecTV. So not only could you watch it on Chile, but you could also watch it throughout the world. I didn't want to go because I had just moved to Los Angeles, right? I'm living in LA. I'm broke as hell. I'm negative in my bank account. You know, I'm trying to make it, you know, and here I am with my feet wet. Things are moving with Albert. I'm in Albert Torres' good graces, and he wants to help me, but he wants me to finish college. So I'm like, I'm broke. You know, I got my degree. I got my degree in like my AA in about 16 months, and I'm broke, and I don't know what to do. So my ex-girlfriend, she said, look, I'm going to go to this TV show. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. Whatever happens, happens. She left first, and then I said, you know what? I'm going to just go. You know, if I believe it's for me in L.A., and if I believe I'm going to make big things happen here, then I can make big things happen anytime. I'm a big believer in that, right? I don't rush like, man, I'm young, so I got to do this. Or, oh, my God, I got to compete against this person because they're doing it so young. You know, I've taken my career purposely. I've done it my way. There is no expiration date in my career. There's not like, oh my God, I'm getting older and this is not going to happen. No, I believe in myself enough that I can make any opportunity happen at any age. You know, at 50 years old, I'm going to be doing something crazy, right? I'm, you know, 38 and I'm working for Fania Records now. You know what I mean? Like I would have, you know, I always keep my fingers on the pulse to always try to do new and innovative things. So at that time I said, you know, if I leave LA, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do something greater. Right. So I leave LA and it's like, right now I had just done this Roberto Rowena routine. I had just like, for those of you that don't know, Roberto Rowena, the Final All-Stars, I imitated this man. He was performing in 1974 in Zaire, Africa, where the Final All-Stars were opening up for the Rumble in the Jungle with George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali. And in the end of the Final All-Star concert, Roberto Rowena comes out and he's doing his solo Ponte Duro. So I took that whole video, put it on a screen, and I dressed like him and grew out my hair like him and I danced like him. And that routine, like I had just done that routine. So all these festivals were trying to hire me to travel around the world to do that routine. But I chose to go to Chile instead and follow my girlfriend. And that was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life, because I go to this country, which I thought, you know, they call South American countries third world countries, but man, I can't wait to take my daughter to Chile. You know, in Chile, you know, I was with my ex-girlfriend there. I actually in the show, Earl, if you win against these dancers, I was part of the dancers, right? Dancers versus dancers and singers versus singers. If you win, you get an apartment and you get a car and you get to stay on the show as a regular. That was the grand prize. So I'm like, I'm not trying to stay here forever. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't, you know. And, you know, everybody was super technical when they're dancing. If you go on YouTube, my people, go Rojo, Edwin Rivera, you'll find it. Anyway, so all these dancers are like ballet trained, hip-hop trained, technical trained, and here comes the salsa dancer, right? And in Chile, people look down on dancers that do not do ballet. Like, they look down on every genre except for ballerinas. They think that that's the only way you can make money. So I went down to Chile and I disrupted everybody's mentality, and I'm very proud of it. Disrupted the shit out of that whole country, right? So I'm getting like zeros from the judges. Like, you know, the scores were from 0 to like 20. I'm getting zeros from all the judges, and yet the crowd and the people were screaming for me. They were screaming for me because I was one of them. I was this kid that had nothing. And is living his passion, and is living his dream, and no one's gonna tell him how to do it. No one's gonna dictate it. And I was very vocal about that on this live TV show, right? So I'm there, I'm killing it. They, you know, they would tell you the themes, like, okay, today you got to do a jazz routine with an umbrella. And the directors wouldn't know, the choreographers wouldn't know. I wouldn't let the choreographers of the show come in my show. I said, I want to do it. I don't want you to choreograph for me. And I'd go in and I'd do Agua Que Va Caer by Ismael Rivera with an umbrella. You know, I'd do a salsa routine. And I didn't follow the rules. And I get 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. But my popularity was so huge that, you know, things didn't work out with my ex-girlfriend at the time. She went back to the USA. And the TV station offered me a 2-year contract. So I stayed. And I said, you know what? I'm going to stay in Chile. I came all the way out here. There's a reason why I'm being offered this contract. So I stayed and on my own, no family, no nothing, by myself. I was in a country that was in my own. And yet that country took care of me like they own. So Chile, lo quiero mucho. Thank you for, man, I go there now. It's crazy. I go there now. And, you know, the airport people, they recognize me immediately. Taxi cabs recognize me immediately. Albert Torres, may he rest in peace, was very proud of that accomplishment and what I was able to achieve out there. I was even able to bring my mentor, David Melendez, to Chile right before he passed. It was like he came to visit me in September of 2016, and he passed in February of 2017. So David was just flabbergasted. And we would go to the supermarket and, you know, people would chase me and him into the cab. He couldn't believe it. I would take David to the clubs with me. And let's just say David had a good time before he left this earth. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say, Earl.
Wow. That's something else. Wow. Okay. So, but just what made you pick that? You were just evidently you were inspired by that routine by Roberto.
Well, that's a good question. Albert Torres was telling me in 2004 that he was going to be Roberto Rowena. And Roberto Rowena, that's my idol. You know, uh-huh. People have Michael Jackson. People have Michael Jordan. That's my Michael Jordan. That's my Michael Jackson. If you know me, you know that of me already, right? Okay. So, you know, when you're telling me that my Michael Jackson is coming to L.A., like, I gotta throw the red carpet for him. I got to do something special for him. So there were various ideas. Either I was going to do a medley, a choreography with my dance company, Edwin Rivera Project, with different songs of his, do like 4 songs and a choreography. And in 2013, summer of 2013, I went to Japan because I wasn't able to afford college. So I went to Japan for about a few months, and I made enough money to pay for my school. So I
Right.
paused a semester, went to Japan, got this money, and was able to pay for my out-of-state tuition in Santa Monica. Anyway, so this I'm in Hiroshima, and there's a guy who's a big furniture collector, and they introduced me to him, and he begged me to come into his home. So I go into his home, and in Japan, you know, people's apartments, it's like, no offense, but the bathroom's right there, the kitchen's right here, the living room's right there, like everything is super close to each other. So it's like only him and I can go in his home. That's it. And the people I was with, they had to wait outside. So I go inside his apartment. He sits me down and I look, and it's like literally every video, DVD, poster, CD of Fania. And he tells me he knows I love Roald Rowena. So he shows me the Fania All-Stars in Africa, 1974 is that year. And I'm sitting down and I watch the whole concert. It's my first time watching this concert. And I go and I see Roberto Rowena in the end. And he's doing Ponte Duro Bongo, Ponte Duro. And I watch Roberto. And when the concert's over, you know, this guy, I'm just still. And the Japanese guy thought he did something wrong. So he just felt really, really bad. He goes, I'm so sorry, Suimasen, if you feel uncomfortable. I go, no. My brain's just processing. And immediately I got up off my chair and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor him by replicating his performance in 1974 in Africa. And
Wow.
history happened after that.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow. So, how did that turn into you doing the movie on set with Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony? I mean, that's just insanity. I mean, first of all, how did that happen? And second of all, what were you feeling when that happened? I know you, I didn't know whether you were joking in an interview. I watched the interview with you in, and you said one of your dreams was always to be an extra on Jennifer Lopez's movie. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not.
That's very true.
Oh.
That's very true. You know, I learned how to dance in Castle Hill Avenue in the Bronx, Starlight Dance Studio. So Jennifer was in Kips Bay, right, in Soundview. So that wasn't too far away from me. I would sometimes go behind David Melendez's back and go to Kips Bay because Kips Bay had like all the bomb teenage girls dancing there, right?
Right.
Like, man, I was like, man, I'm trying to, I'm trying to get in with those girls where J-Lo came from, you know. But going to Kim, but going. Shout out to Cheryl, one of the best female dancers, and her sister Brenda Burke, cousin Brenda Burke. They came from Kips Bay as well. I going to Kips Bay inspired me to leave New York, right? Like going there and see what J-Lo accomplished because they honored her at that Boys and Girls Club, Kips Bay Boys and Girls Club. And I was just, I don't know, I was just around. It was weird. I just met everybody that helped shape J-Lo's career in that neighborhood. I would just meet all this person would do this with J-Lo, or this person did this with J-Lo, this person taught Jennifer this and that and that. And I'm like, damn, she's like, she left this. Like she's a female and she left this. So I could do the same. So I'm like, you know what? I can't wait to meet her one day. And I can't wait to tell her, yo, I was in your neighborhood and your neighborhood inspired me to leave. And but I'm like, you know, man, I just want to be an extra in one of her movies. And that's going to tell me I made it. I just want to
Right.
walk. You know, I just want to walk in the background. You know, and I'm happy with that, man. I'm happy. But you know, this opportunity, when I did that choreography for Roberto Rowena, it took off, man, like wildfire. It took off like wildfire. It was everywhere. Every country wanted it, every space, place, every continent wanted that choreography. So the movie El Cantante was in production. You know, people were casting for it already. I had no idea about this. So I'm living in Chile. And I remember I got to perform this choreography at the Chicago International Salsa Congress. And the director of basically the stage manager and the person putting the lineup together was one of the greatest female Latin choreographers in our industry, Miss Maria Torres, my dance mom. And my dance mom, you know, She's known me since I was a baby, right? I was always in all her shows she would put together. She would always call David, David, bring the Heartbreak Boys. I'm producing something in New Jersey. I'm doing a hustle event here. I'm doing something here. And David would always take the boys. So that's how I knew her. But then, you know, she saw me in Chicago. I'm all grown up doing this Roberto Rovena routine. And she saw, and she remembered the standing ovation I got. I received that evening in Chicago. Hence, a few years later, she's the choreographer of the movie El Cantante. So the director specifically wanted, specifically, and by the way, Mark Anthony, a few musicians from his camp, right? They follow Albert Torres as well. So a few of his musicians, they had the 2004 LA Salsa Fest DVD, right? Because at that time, Albert was doing a musician seminar too in 2004. So Bobby Allende and those guys, they had like, you know, remember the Festival Congress DVDs? So they're showing it to Mark. And for some reason, the director wanted the scene of Roberto Rovena in the movie. He just wanted Roberto Rovena dancing in the movie. So Maria goes, I know the guy. We don't have to audition for it. Like, I know the guy. So all of a sudden, people still wanted to do an audition. So they did an audition. But yeah, I believe, from what I hear, it was about 600 people in New York. A lot of 600 dancers auditioned to do Roberto Rovena. And they still didn't find him. So Maria goes, I know the guy. Can you please let me look for the guy? And they told her, you got 24 hours. So Maria couldn't find me because I was in Chile doing the TV show. Maria found my mother. She found my mother's phone number, told my mother, hey, your son has the role of his life. I need him here in New York tomorrow. Where is he? And my mom goes, he's in Chile right now. Tell him to get on the next flight now. So I'm just finishing up the show in Chile. It's about 8 o'clock. I get to my room, my apartment. And my mom goes, catch the next flight. They're watching the Jennifer Lopez movie now. And I'm like, what? Mom, what are you talking about? They want you to play Roberto Rovena in the movie. Maria Torres just called me. Go, please. And then one of the musicians showed the director your Roberto Rovena routine at the LA Salsa Fest. They want you there now. They want you there now. So I'm like, oh. And it's summertime. It's summertime in Chile at that time, right? So I think I got called November. We shot November, I believe. So it's kind of like super hot. Man, I go on a Delta flight. I'll never forget this time. 10:48. It was a 10:48 Delta flight. It's 8 o'clock. I got to get there for 2 hours prior. They're not going to let me in if I have luggage. So I just went straight to the airport in shorts, a tank top, a hat, and a little sweater. And I went straight to New York. I purchased the ticket, and I went straight to New York. When I arrived, it was freezing because it was opposite season. So my parents, they came, picked me up at the airport. They gave me some clothes, and that's how it happened. And I arrived on set the next day. So shout out to Maria Torres. I love you so, so much. Thank you for believing in this kid. To all my mentors, to Albert, if it wasn't for his DVD, that was the cherry on top. You know, had his musicians not showed Mark Anthony the DVD, that was the cherry on top, right? So it was destined. It was destined. But, you know, I don't want people to think that destiny is something that's given. Destiny only comes to you when you're ready. So I was ready because I was grinding. I continued to grind. I continued to work. So great opportunities come to me because I'm always working. I'm always perfecting my craft as a music producer, as a DJ, as an event planner, as a choreographer, as a content producer. I'm always grinding and working on how to get better. When I'm producing the work, that's not work for me. Mm-hmm. For me, that's just that's the gift that God gave me. The work is when I'm learning. Right? The work when I'm learning, like when I'm learning how to do something, or when I'm reading, or when I'm bettering myself. That's the work. I believe that God, or whoever anybody believes out there, the powers that be, I believe that that's how you get rewarded. When you put that time in, that's when these opportunities all line up for you. And I was ready for that. I was ready for that opportunity.
Wow. Amazing. So how did you get hooked up with Albert Torres?
Oof. So that I met Albert. Is this rated R, rated PG-13, or is it rated
D? You know my nickname is Go-Go Earl. Anything goes. You can say whatever you want, as long as you don't say anything. And you don't strike me as the type that would do that. As long as you don't disrespect any women, you fine. You say anything you want.
Never. I love never. So, what is disrespect? I hope not, ladies. I hope this doesn't disrespect you. So I met Albert for the first time at the Salsa Web Convention in 99, I believe it was 99 or 2000. It was 2000, I think it was 2000. Mm. So we had done a great job as the Heartbreak Boys. Earl, you know the Heartbreak Boys. Uh-huh. You know, I don't got to talk about them. So I was part of the Heartbreak Boys with David Melendez. So we got invited to go to the LA Salsa Fest in 2000 from New York, from our performance. We had got a standing ovation, and I was just so excited that I wanted to personally thank Albert. And I ran to Albert. He was with Angel Rodriguez of Razzmatazz sitting in a booth. Shout out to Angel Rodriguez. We've actually connected recently, and I remember this like it was yesterday, Earl. So I'm 15, 16, whatever. And I go to Albert and I say, "Hey Albert, I'm Edwin, and I'm with the Heartbreak Boys, and I want to say thank you so much for the invitation. I've never been to Los Angeles, and I can't wait." You know what's the first thing my man tells me? He looks at me, he goes, "Make sure you bring condoms, Edwin. Make sure you bring condoms." If y'all know Albert Torres, you know Albert's dark joke. Like, he just has these jokes that you're just like, but that's how he would break the ice with you, right? Like, if you couldn't handle a joke like that, and if you took it personally, then, you know, because this was his home.
Right.
In these festivals, this was his home. This was his living room. So, you know, I always felt like when you speak to him, you're coming into his home. So when you come into somebody's home, they're comfortable with you. They trust you. Right. So I was just like, why? He goes, "Just do it." So, you know. So I shook his hand. I went to L.A. I fell in love with Los Angeles. And this right when I went to L.A., right in between, I was like, you know, in Soundview, Kips Bay Boys and Girls Club. And I'll go to L.A. in May. Like, everything is just happening so fast. And I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. I fell in love coming into Los Angeles and watching the Vasquez brothers, Sasa Boricache, Los Rumberos, Sasa Brava, Luis Vasquez. You know, I fell in love with how they transformed the salsa, how they put theater in salsa music, in their choreographies. People don't do that no more, unfortunately. And I fell in love with that. I was like, oh my God, they took salsa Hollywood. Then I got to go to Hollywood, and then I got to I just got to feel like this is where I needed to be. I needed to be in LA. I needed to be here. But I only told David Melendez about it. I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't think that in this lifetime I was going to be able to afford to leave the Bronx. You know, I thought that after I finished dancing, I was going to, you know, go live in a construction job, be like my dad, who I'm so proud of, and there was nothing wrong with that, right? My dad took care of his family. My dad was my icon, my everything. You know, he worked from 6 a.m. to 6 o'clock every day. I love you, Papi. It was his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to my father. Right. So I go to Japan. From LA Salsa Fest, we get invited to go to Japan that same year, the Heartbreak Boys. So we go to Japan, we perform, and Albert Torres comes up to me because I was going to get my GED. Uh-huh. And Albert comes up to me and he says, "There's a rumor that you want to come to Los Angeles." And I said, "Well, it's a rumor because I don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, I can't afford to go there. And one day, my next lifetime." Right. And he goes, "But I heard you're about to get your GED. And I'm like, "Yeah, I just want to dance, man." He goes, "I'll do you a favor. Graduate high school. You know, finish your 4 years in high school. Go finish it, and I'll make sure I'll move you to Los Angeles."
Wow.
And he came, and I couldn't believe it. We stayed in communication after Japan, and he personally flew from L.A. to my parents' house in the Bronx. And he explained to my parents why I needed to leave the Bronx. I wasn't going to end up doing anything there. I needed to leave. My father's first instinct was, you know, the hell you, why are you vouching for a young little boy, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. And my mom was just like, if he leaves, I'm never talking to him again. Wow. Right? That was the. I remember that vividly. I'm about to get a little emotional talking about that. But that was the conversation. And, you know, that year, my parents agreed. I got my first job as a stock boy. Shout out to Louis Lanier, who gave me my first job as a stock boy at a children's clothing company in Dyke in Washington Heights. Sorry. I saved enough money. I only had I saved $175 cash. I paid for my airfare. I had my security deposit for my rent. But cash, I flew with $175. And the song that I left on that airplane with to LA was Tumbao Africano by Ray Barreto, singing Alberto Santiago. And these lyrics were very specific. These lyrics were just like so inspirational to me. And there's a part where the song breaks after the afro and it goes, yo te lo dije que yo vine a triunfar. Venga mi gente que ahora vamos a gozar. Like, I told you, I'm going to triumph. Now, people, come with me and let's celebrate together. And these lyrics were so motivational for me as this plane was taking off. This song was playing. And once the plane was in the sky, I was like, okay, I'm ready. I arrived and Albert was there to pick me up and the rest was history. But check this out. Ready? So I'm thinking, I arrived to LA. I got the biggest promoter in the world. I'm 17, 18. I'm going to crush it. It's over. I'm going to kill it. And he drops me off at Santa Monica College. And he goes, go register for school. I'm like, what do you mean go register for school? He goes, you're going to college and you're going to be the first in your family to finish college. And I'm like, I didn't come here for this. He goes, well, too bad. You want my help? Go to school. So I went to school. I got my degree in less than 2 years. I slammed it on his desk, and it was history after that.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. You mentioned, it's a great story. You had mentioned that you had been a music producer, and I'm thinking, forgive me, Edwin, there was a time when I used to fool around with some flowers, so my memory is not the greatest. But I'm thinking that you were involved with some type of music project at some time at one time, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have 3 fully produced albums out. One of them is Soul of a Dancer. The song Beautiful, Cuando Yo Te Vi, took my music career off. Those songs, to this day, I was just in Monaco, and every DJ was playing Beautiful. Every DJ, you know, every DJ was in there. Some DJs didn't even know that was my song. So they were just, and I would approach the DJ and I would say, thank you so much for playing that song. And they're like, oh, you're Edwin. You're the one that made the song. And I'm like, yeah. So, and then I did a second album called Music Is My Everything. That one was more of a, I don't want to say commercial hit, no. But it definitely reached the radio stations and it definitely got me to play in some of the biggest, biggest outdoor electronic music festivals in the world. And then I produced an album for my first artist that was signed to my record label, who then went off to sign with a major label. We did such a good job with him. He signed with Universal and his name was Laquan Brooks and the album was called I Am Laquan. My first album, Soul of a Dancer, was under an independent label and the independent label just gave me the rights back to all my music. So I've taken the whole album down because I'm doing a reissue and it's going to be called the Phoenix Edition because every cent, every dollar of that album is going to go directly to my daughter. It's going to be for her. So shout out to Abbott Music for giving me back my masters on that first album.
Beautiful. Oh, huh. And how is your family, by the way?
They're my everything. My wife is my angel on earth. My daughter is my angel from God. And I just, it's the best. I always knew I was a hard worker, right? Like I always knew nothing was ever going to stop me or nothing was ever going to get in my way. Right. And people thought that when I was going to have a kid, I was going to, slow down, or some people, you know, some people brought it to my attention. You know, I'm not assuming that people were thinking this. People brought it to my attention, like, man, now you got a kid, now you got to take, you know, slow down, take things, you know. No, I work differently now, right? Mm-hmm. I know how to say no. Before my child, I didn't know how to say no, right? I did everything and for everybody and all that stuff, but now everything has to matter. If I do something, if I work on a project, if it doesn't benefit my daughter and my wife, I don't do it. That's it. And if anybody takes that personal, I whatever. So everything is about them. So because of that mentality, it's just been, I've just been working on some incredible projects that I would have never dreamed of, Earl. Never. And that's all thanks to my wife and my daughter, Phoenix. You know, my daughter saved my life. Literally, she literally saved my life. I went through a tough time, very, very, very tough time, right before she was born. Mm-hmm. And when I found out we were having a girl, you know, I got my life back again. And that's why we named her Phoenix, you know, because her dad rose from the ashes. He really did. And I can't wait till she gets a little older so I can explain to her how she saved her dad's life.
Oh, wow. You know what? I've really enjoyed this interview. It's been going great too, Edwin.
Thank you.
And I don't really know you that well. Like I said, I followed you, but what I did know is that you got, I mean, the people who are in it, who watching this interview, they had no idea. They're probably thinking at the time, wow, he's got a lot to talk about. They don't even know, we haven't even scratched the surface of the things that you've done. So I knew, regardless, I posted on Facebook, I said, it ain't like he ain't going to have nothing to talk about. Now, segue from your daughter, your beautiful daughter, Phoenix. Am I correct, or are you like, were you involved with having the first kids social congress?
So David Melendez started it, and David Melendez passed it on to me. So that's, yes, right. It is the first.
I knew that. Yeah. I'm tripping.
No, it's all good. It's all good. David started it in 2005. 2005, we skipped a few years. During that time, like 2 years or something, I moved it to Puerto Rico from Orlando, and we're celebrating our 15th anniversary. 15th anniversary this year in Puerto Rico. This year, yeah, July 15th to the 18th, we get about 1,000 kids, plus their families and uncles and grandmas, and everybody comes out to that event. And it's just like a festival. It's just like a congress for children and youth and teens. We have theme parties. We have glow parties. We have Disney parties. It's nuts. We have pool parties. And the parents just sit back and relax while I take care of all their 1,000 children in our event.
That's great. That's a great thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. Because, you know, you had help when you were a child, so I guess you wanted to put back into the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've never really met, maybe when I get older it might happen, but I've mentored so many people and so many children. But in terms of, like, the relationship that I had with Albert and David, right?
Right.
I'm proud to say that I was probably the only person in this industry that had that relationship with them, father and son, with both of them. So I don't have that relationship with, like, one specific person, right, or that tie. I have relationships with many people. And I just believe that if these two men, like, they just, like, they gave me everything they had, right? So now I want to times that by thousands and thousands and thousands, right? I'm really hands-on with every child or every parent that wants to take their child to the next level, or if I get close with the family, that communication never stops, right? I believe in the third parent rule. You know, my daughter is not going to look at me or her mother the way she looks at a person she looks up to. Doesn't matter who you are. You know, you could be famous. I mean, you could be an actor. You could be a famous person, but to them, you're dad. You're the annoying father. You're the annoying mom, right? But that third parent is the person that puts you straight. I had two third parents, David and Albert, and they set me straight. So I really believe that being a third parent to a lot of these kids, that's super crucial. That's super important. And it alleviates a lot of what parents are really trying to do for their child. You know, I'll step in and I go, let me talk to them about this. It'll get through them. You know, you don't have to feel bad or insecure or ask yourself, well, how come they don't listen to me? I'm going to go through the same thing. Phoenix is not going to listen to me because I'm her father.
There
right?
You go.
That's
there
it. That's how it is. That's just the way the game works. So that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do for all these kids around the world, all these youths. I want to really help that, man. Like, this year for the Kids Congress, right, we released the promo back in January, February, and we're almost sold out with the hotel already. And a lot of the people that are registering, the directors, they were kids at my festival. So it's
wow.
I see their names and I reach out to them to confirm that everything is booked. And they're like, you don't know me, but I used to dance with so-and-so. And your Congress changed my life 8 years ago. Your festival changed my life 7 years ago. You're the reason why I opened up a dance studio. We look for one day I said that I'm going to open up a dance studio and we're going to perform on your stage. And look, we're doing it now. That's what it's all about, Earl. All of that. Nothing that I've accomplished in terms of whatever people think is cool, J-Lo, whatever, music, whatever. None of that matters. None of that matters to me more than changing someone's life that way. Like, I'll die happy knowing that I did that much good, that I'm actually molding and shaping people into doing more positive. That's what it's all about. Everything else will just fall into place, right? That's my why for living. That is my why for living. You know, a lot of people, right, that don't know me, you know, they see this artist and they see all the beautiful artistic things that I'm doing. But everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Thank you. That's God just blessing me from all. But what I'm really, 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 really doing is just, how can I shape your life today? How can I help you? You know, how can I produce something that's going to make someone's life better? That's my grind. That's what I work on. And a lot of these projects that come to me, you know, I get to make them work with what I'm trying to do for the world, right? That's what I want to do. So, yeah, man, that's it.
I want to give a shout out to a clave out to Tanya Smith, my girl from Washington, D.C. She's big.
Hi, Tanya.
She's giving you some love, Edwin. I
talked
to her
so much.
Day. She said, you know, she's very, very busy. Her schedule is hectic. But I talked to her and she said, I might try to listen in to Edwin. He interests me. He seems to be very interesting. I said, yeah, this guy, he's done a lot of this stuff. So shout out to Tanya Smith, my girl.
Thank you so much, Tanya. Thank you.
She's got a big event coming up this weekend with Salsa Now in Baltimore.
Ooh,
one thing
good
about
luck,
you,
good luck, good luck.
One thing I like about you is people like yourself that I believe, because of your work ethic and your passion and your love for the industry, I don't think with guys like you, I don't think Salsa and Mambo will ever die. It's
mm-hmm.
because of people who do things like you do. That's for
Thank
sure.
you. Thank yes, you.
Definitely. Now, back to Baltimore, you just had a successfully, you were part of a successful event over there.
Yes.
Now, I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I just want to know because I never knew. I always acted like I knew because I'm supposed to be big, very big in the salsa scene. Just what does an artistic director do? Again, I'm not trying to be funny, but just what are their responsibilities? They may vary. What were you doing?
Well, you know, this artistic directing or producing events, that was never something I wanted to do in my life. Never.
Okay.
You know, I never wanted to be a big promoter. I never wanted to be a producer or a producer of events or directing events. You know, when David Melendez passed away, I got the Children's Teen South Congress. So I automatically became a promoter, producer of events. And then I had to help him out with the Texas Salsa Congress, Ruby Rivera. So Ruby Rivera, she didn't know. She was just like in so much pain. But I came in and became her David, right?
Okay.
I said,
okay,
don't worry about it. I'm gonna handle it. I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna try to make this event as entertaining as possible. So at the time, it was just hiring artists. But then it evolved into hiring artists, the planning of the scheduling. You know, what artists are going to fit perfectly for the personality of this event. I'm not a big fan of bringing artists that are, how do I say this? For me, it's all about how you're going to make that attending feel when the event finishes. That's right. What it's all about. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not knocking anybody that, like, I don't want to get into that. I just love artists. I just love artists that are really about the people and really go out of their way to make sure that every attendee has a great time, right? It's not about the show for me. Workshops are cool, but for me, it's just the interactions, man, that people, because, you know, this Congress life that a lot of people live on a consistent basis and are able to pay their rent, not most, but some are able to pay their rent. It's like working in heaven, man, I think. You know, but if you're able to make a living off of this, then I do believe that you've got to be super grateful to be in that moment. Yeah, you might be physically tired, but like spiritually, your spirit should never be tired when you're part of these events. So my job is to make sure that I get these artists that are like super excited to be there, super happy to be there, and make sure that all of our attendees have a great time. Now, from there, from the Texas Salsa Congress, you know, it was growing so much that everybody was like, yo, Edwin's an artistic director. Like, Edwin is helping Ruby with this event. So Moshe Rozier of the Aventura Dance Cruise approached me in San Francisco. And then from there, I became the artistic director of that event. You know, they were only a couple hundred people on a ship. And then we helped take that thing to a full ship in a matter of 4 years. And then two full ships in the country, in Los Angeles and New York. I resigned back in 2018, but that was an amazing experience in my life. And while working in Aventura Dance Cruise as the artistic director, bringing the artists, planning the entertainment schedule, getting the DJs, getting the musicians, that's my job, is to bring, it's to bring those wheels that's going to make your machine run incredibly well. Now, there are events where organizers, they want to obviously have the input on the artists that they bring. And I'm a big team player, right? There are some artists where I'm like, I don't think this artist's personality is going to match with your mission that you're trying to do with the event, right? If this is your mission, I don't think we bring it. And sometimes it doesn't work. But at the end of the day, I get the blame for that as the artistic director,
okay,
right? No one's going to think about the owner. Everybody's going to think about me. So I, as the artistic director, so I'm very, very, very like vocal on, if we're going to do this, like make sure it works. And by the grace of God, you know, all the events that I've ever been a part of are still running as an artistic director. They're still running. They're thriving. I think long term. I don't think short term. I don't look at competition. I don't look at what anybody else is doing. I love the fact that everybody else is looking at what we're doing. You know, people move their dates around and bring it closer to ours. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's beautiful when people, you know, are looking at you and you know, want to be as successful as your events by doing things like that. I think it's great. And that inspires me to like, man, we're doing something right. They're watching us. They're looking at us. Let's keep it going.
There you go. So I guess you're to blame for why I wasn't involved with the Baltimore Congress. You know, I'm not a big superstar like you, but I have a little clout from D.C. I could have probably bought about 60, 70 more people if you had involved me in that, you know?
It's not a phone call, Earl. You know, it's not a phone call.
Hold on, Edwin. I hear you. Let's move on. I'm not going to call nobody and ask them to bring me. If somebody wants to bring
me,
they will.
No. So I'm gonna be very transparent with you. So as an artistic director, Earl, out of sight, out of mind. I'm gonna be very transparent. So if I don't talk to Earl, Earl's not gonna be on my mind. That's just how it is, right? So with certain artists, like there are artists who reach out and say, "Hey, how can I be a part of it?" And I love that. Oh man, I didn't know you're available. Let's make it work. Let's make it, you know, because there's nothing. We got to take ego out on this, right? Like, we got to take it out. Like, if I see something I want to be a part of, I don't care what I've done in my past, Earl. I'm going to pick up that phone and I go, hey, it's Edwin. How can I help? And, you know, these projects or these organizers are like, oh, man, we didn't know you would be available. Let's work. I'm all about that. So, Earl, if you're available, I'm letting you know right now, right now in front of everybody. I would love to have you report. Not the Baltimore Salsa Bachata Congress, because that's over. It's done. Right. It is now called the World Dance Festival. So I would love for you to be part of the World Dance Festival.
Edwin, to be honest with you, I was actually trying to be funny.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm
Come
not.
On, Earl, you look, got me.
You guys are talking about a Congress. I have taught at some Congresses, but I'm old. These young kids ain't trying to deal with no old man like me. You gotta bring what's hot. You know?
No.
I was just trying to be funny. I didn't want you going to do it.
That's beautiful you said that, because I just had a conversation with a legend, right? And I hired them for an event, and they told me, I can't compete with these kids. Like, just hire somebody else because I don't want to take their spot. And I said, I'm not hiring you because of your show. I'm not hiring you because of your workshop. I'm hiring you because I need people to not make the same mistakes they did. You did. I need you to show these kids the light, the way. Because when you were coming up, no one had you. You didn't have anybody. Like, if you really think about it, like when the Ismael Orteros and the Francisco Vasquez's and these big names, right, from all over the country, who were their mentors? They didn't have no mentors because they were the pioneers of this, right? So I tell this person, I said, these kids, they need your knowledge, man. They need to hear your story. They need your presence. And I think that's something you offer big time, Earl, because you were here when this thing exploded, right? You were here from the very beginning. So absolutely, I would love to have that knowledge spread amongst the young kids, man.
And by the way,
I'm not bullshitting you. So anybody watching, I'm not bullshitting. You know, I'm speaking the truth right now, right? You're humble enough to say, well, you know, I'm old. Nobody wants to learn, man. It's all about this. Right. It's all about this right now.
Let's move on. I was just joking, because you know me. If I want to teach at a conference or an event, I would probably have my own, where I can do whatever I want. I'm like James Brown in that aspect. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door. I get it myself.
I got you.
Let's get off of that. I was just joking, and it was a poor attempt at a joke. And it took the air out of the interview. Let's get back to the
podcast. No way. No, Earl, it's a good thing you mentioned it, because I'm letting you know right now. I hope to have you at the World Dance Festival. I really do. I'm sending that invitation out to you, and we'll talk about it. I really want you to be part of it, because there should be no reason why I'm next in your town and you're not next to me at that event, Earl. Absolutely. I think it was a positive thing.
Well, thank you for the kind word, Evan. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Let's move on and talk about what's going on now. Just tell me about this. Tell me about the artists that are being involved in the Fania project you're working on. Tell me the name of the project, the artists involved. I saw you interviewing somebody else, and I said, that Edwin is every daggone weird. Tell me what's going on with Fania right now. And you're teaching, of course, you taught 10 classes with them.
Yeah.
Can you break down the people who are listening what's going on?
So for those of you that don't know who Fania Music, Fania Records, or the Fania All-Stars are, these were the creators of salsa music founded by Johnny Pacheco and Jerry Masucci. The best musicians, the best bongo player, the best percussionists, the best singers all formed one super group called the Fania All-Stars. And this record label exists till today. And I just want to just say, thank you to the Fania family for including me in their family. A special thank you to Ismael Miranda and Ismael Miranda Jr. That relationship between me and Fania started years ago. A lot of people didn't know this. I never talk about my relationships that I have with specific people until if something comes out of it, whatever. But my relationship, I really genuinely love and care about people, period. So the label from the previous owners, I was sold to the new owners that are today. And this label that purchased Fania, they purchase catalogs. That's what they do, right? That's, you know, that's what they do. Concord Music Group. They purchased and they took over Fania, but they kept their vice president, the president, directors of marketing. They kept certain people I had relationships there with. And I was given, you know, we stayed in communication, and these people reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we wanna start doing more things with Fania music and dancers. We want to start a course. We want to do dance classes. You know, how about you start it with your wife and then we'll do something else and we'll see how that goes. So we started with that course. It was called We Love to See You Dance. And we taught people how to dance salsa, New York style. I know in New York they call it Mambo On 2. But Mambo On 2, commercially, they weren't going to understand that. And I want to, you know, make that clear. You know, if you tell somebody that wants to break into salsa or wants to learn how to dance Latin music, saying Mambo On 2, obviously we want to keep it as authentic as possible. But saying Mambo On 2 wasn't going to be attractive enough for everybody, which is why Johnny Pacheco and Jerry Masucci, they didn't call it Mambo, right? They knew Mambo was the bass, rumba, danzón, song, cha-cha-cha. How are you going to sell all these different names to the commercial world? They had to bring it together and call it salsa. And so that was kind of the mentality. We're going to reinvent this thing and we're going to keep it as salsa. We're still going to say salsa New York style. And it was a huge hit. Thank God. We shot 10 episodes with my wife, Erica Rivera, Socio Rivera. It was such a beautiful experience working with this, for this project with Fania Records. Thank you so much again for the opportunity. And it was a hit. And the next project was, you know, I'm such a, I never keep everything for myself, Earl. I'm not selfish like that. I was like, okay, now how can I spread the love? You know, how can we spread the love? And I sat back with the vice president and we spoke and we came up with this incredible idea called Salsa Around the World, where we were going to feature prominent dancers, future dancers representing the country, dancing to finance music. And I was able to pick 15 of the best couples in the world.
Wow.
Which was, you know, again, it was all what artist was going to fit perfect for this project? You know, which artist was going to fit perfect for this project? You know, I really wanted to include, like, people that paved the wave, you know? So I really wanted a Johnny Vasquez. I really wanted a Fernando Sosa of Tropical Gem. I really wanted a Young and Anita of Spain. I really wanted, you know, an Eddie Torres Jr., Maria Torres. I really wanted, you know, just people that helped shape this industry. And also I sprinkled in some people, we sprinkled in some people that we felt that they were also going to lead in the future, right? We sprinkled in some people that are killing it right now around the world, killing it, killing it, killing it. And we know that 10, 20 years from now, they're still going to be in this business, hopefully. And so far, we've released 2 episodes. Oh, and we opened it up. Our first episode, we had to open it up with Tito and Tamara, you know, our pioneers in Puerto Rico. We opened it up with them and we filmed it. Shout out to Rabbit Media, Salsero Boricua, who shot that for us. And Tito and Tamara opened it in El Moro, Puerto Rico. You know, I think they have like now over 200,000 views in that video, you know, in 9 days, 8 days. And then we released Johnny Vasquez as episode 2 in Italy, you know. And tomorrow, Friday, we release episode 3 with Juan Camilo Diago. He's the first ever competitor to ever beat every single category in a world competition, right? In the World Latin Dance Cup, they have something called the Ultimate Dance Championship, where the champions of a bachata team, a salsa team, a small team, big team, salsa couple, cabaret, bachata, cabaret, solo, every category faced each other. Every category faced each other for one grand prize. And that grand prize was 10 congresses around the world. And this was televised around the world by HTV. And thank you so much to HTV that filmed this whole thing. They're a Latin channel. And Juan Camilo won that competition. And I'd never seen something like that in my life where a solo dancer beat everybody. And not only did he beat everybody, but his routine, he did Coro Miare by the Fania All-Stars. And I just thought it was only fitting to bring this kid in and make him be a part of this project so that the world can see a future of the industry. So shout out to everybody at Fania. I love you guys so much. And to many more projects together, to many more. So this is, if you know me, whenever I start working with something, and I've been blessed. Like I did something with World of Dance, a competition with them about a year ago. I worked with Monster Cable. Like I love working with big brands, Earl. I love working with big, big corporate brands like that because that's what's going to help us go to the next level. You know, I'm happy that these congresses are running and they're consistent, but they're there. And congresses, in my opinion, they're not going to show. Well, at least Albert Torres did, right? Albert Torres would bring producers in. And Albert Torres, like, he would, out of his pocket, he would fly producers into his festival. He would fly promoters into his festival. There's no Congress in the world that does that. And none. Nobody flies in a director from a movie to watch their show. Nobody flies in the producer of the biggest festival to come watch their festival. No one does that. So what happens is the opportunities for these dancers, it doesn't pass that wall. Right, you go for a week and you get paid, and that's it. Okay, then you're scratching your head like, what's the next festival? And I wanted to change that mentality, right? I want to change that mentality where I wanted to give people something to look forward to. So with this project, Salsa Around the World, man, you'd be surprised. I've gotten not hundreds, but thousands of dancers asking to be part of this project. They want to represent Bolivia. They want to represent Argentina. They want to represent Germany. They want to represent, you know. So we've finally given something for that kid to work hard, and hopefully there'll be a Fania dancer one day. Hopefully they'll be part, because these 15 couples, along with myself and Erica, were the first dancers ever to have worked at this capacity with Fania Records, Fania All-Stars, Fania Music. So this is something that I can't wait to talk to my daughter about. This is something that's going to stay in the salsa history books forever. And these are the opportunities I like to create. You know, you know, what can I say? I like doing things that are going to help us stay immortal. I want to immortalize us. So that's it.
Well, we just got a few more minutes left, Erwin. I don't want to hold you. I know you're busy.
Never busy for you, Earl. Never.
How did you meet Ismael Otero?
Man, what an amazing question. So Ismael Otero, in the Latin dance community, outside of David Melendez and outside of Albert Torres, when it comes to dancers, he is my number one inspiration in the salsa and amongst the salsa dancers. My number one. So he's my we're at the Mamo Mama social. Mamo Mama's, may she rest in peace, Abby Plackett.
Yeah.
I still haven't processed that. Her not being here. So, like a lot of us, right? We still haven't processed with everything that's happened in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I was at the Mamo Mama social, and David used to make us wear these big slacks and nice shirts. And I used to hate dressing up to go to socials, Earl. You know, I'm from the hood, man. Let me dress how I want to dress. You know, why I gotta go with a shirt and tie? Like, can I go with my baggy jeans? And David was like, no. So all of a sudden, I see this man in a basketball jumpsuit coming to a social, and he's killing it, man. He's like, he got all the moves, and all the girls are dancing with him. And it was like a light bulb happened when I saw Ismael walk in, and I saw all the moves and just how he treated people and just how everyone was gravitated towards him because of his talent and, again, how he treated people. I said, oh, I can be different like that. I don't have to be in a box. What? I'm sorry. I want to be different. And Ismael Otero was one of the reasons why I wanted to be different in this industry, because he was different from the get, and he didn't care. And I love that. And he's some, you know, he's sometimes somebody, and I know he's hate. And he wasn't the person I was talking about in the beginning of this conversation, but he's, I know he's going to hate I'm going to say this, but he's also one of the, he's also a person that I talk to about, like, bro, like, no one has your knowledge. Like, no one has your knowledge. I mean, look at the people that came out of Ismael, Alex and Desiree. I'm sorry, but if there wasn't, there wasn't somebody like Ismael Ortega, there wouldn't be Alex and Desiree, right? Right. Grisel Ponce. Like, a lot of people came out, Shani Tamor, a lot of people came out of this man or were under him. And they're, these people, they've taken over the world, man. And I believe, like, you got to sit back. This is how I feel. That's your success already. You know, whether or not anybody's making more money than you, or whether any or not anybody has more followers than you, like if your students have, if that doesn't matter. Like, you know, I don't have as many followers or likes as a lot of my colleagues do. But the colleagues that I have that do have the big likes and the big followers, they all follow me. They all call me for advice. They all, like, respect me so much. So to me, when I see them shining and I see them getting thousands upon thousands of views, and that's part of my success, man, too. Like, I see myself there, you know, because I was a part of that, and I'm so proud of them. Obviously, their work is what got them there, right? I want to be clear with that, because there's a lot of people that go, I helped that person get started, or they did this because of me. I never said that in this conversation, you know? No, we were a part of their success. They chose to grind. They chose to make the right decisions, and that's why they're there. But we helped guide them, and being a part of that journey is the most successful, amazing thing you could ever ask for.
Exactly. I feel you. I feel you on it. A lot of times people come up to me and say, you made this DJ. You made... No. I've been blessed and fortunate to just happen to know a lot of DJs that are actually very, very good. I never made any of them. I've never announced that I made them. I gave them an opportunity. If I gave them an opportunity and they didn't deliver the goods, they wouldn't be doing anything. So I didn't make anybody. I would never say I made anybody.
Yep.
Because I haven't. I just said, here's a chance. That's all. You know?
So that's right. That's a thing.
Look, Edwin, obviously we could talk for hours. I know you got to go. We've covered mostly everything. Oh, one more thing.
Please.
Now, people who are listening now, they're people who have no idea, say, the late 90s or early 2000s, where you play as a DJ now, they would have never even thought about playing the on two at Stephen's Steakhouse back in the early 2000s. Did you ever think that on two would ever come into the Stephen's Steakhouse area? Were you surprised when they first switched over?
So, playing at Stevens, in the beginning was a big challenge for me. It was a big challenge because I didn't, being a, so I always considered myself a music selector. I never considered myself a DJ. And there's a difference, right? A music selector, I'm going to play what I want to play for you, and I'm going to educate you with my set. Right. That's what I used to be. Right. Mm-hmm. When I came to Stevens, they wanted to hear Lloraras every time I was there. You know, they wanted to hear, you know, Tu Con El by Frankie Ruiz every time I was there. Every time. Right. So it was a challenge in the beginning. But what I learned was, you know, I'm going to give them what they want, and I'm also going to educate them with new music. And I'm also going to bring something extra. And I'm also going to bring something cool. Shout out to the ownership of Stephen's Steakhouse for giving me my residency there. And that happened because I no longer want to travel the way I used to, unless it's beneficial for my family. You know, I declined many festivals this year, unless it's beneficial to my family. You know, I'm not going to a Congress anymore. And I'm not knocking anybody who does this. But I'm already in a place in my career where... I think I can do more than just make my living off of a Congress. right? So if there's an opportunity, I'm getting hired for a Congress, what's going to happen after that event? If there's nothing that's going to happen after the event, or if they're not able to fly my family, or if we're not talking about the future, I'm going to decline it because I'd rather be home with my daughter. You know, I miss my daughter's first words. I miss my daughter's first solid food. I miss her first step. You know, when I was working, I was traveling. And I thought that that was going to be a norm, Earl. I thought that was going to be a norm. Like, you know, I'm going to miss a lot of the big moments in her life, but daddy's making great money when he's traveling. But then, you know, COVID-19 happened and I got to spend this time with my wife and my daughter. Oh my God, I think about it. I could just write a book. This just love that I never felt before amongst just, it was just us three getting through this together. Obviously, with our circle. And I got so much closer to my family because of that situation that I have no desire to get on a plane on a consistent basis like the way I used to. So Stephen Steakhouse, they've been trying to get me to there for a while, you know, but the condition was, you know, you can't travel as much because how are we going to build your nights if you're always gone, right? And I agreed. I said, hey, man, I'm in a different place right now. I'm ready to go. Let's do this. So, man, it's our Saturday nights is ridiculous, man. It's beautiful. Like, I managed to bring out the Puerto Rican community there. So a lot of Puerto Ricans are in Stevens now that wouldn't normally show up there. And and I'm going to be 100. None of the people on that Saturday night knew who I was before I got there. Maybe a few, but nobody knew who I was, right? So I bought the New York flavor, Puerto Rican flavor. I didn't dismiss what they were listening to on the Saturdays there, but now it's a whole different vibe and it's super, super, super beautiful. Their Wednesday nights was primarily only bachata. It was only bachata on Wednesday. That's it. And now we're building their salsa again on Wednesdays there. So that's slowly but surely. I'm just happy that I'm being given the opportunity to not only play there, but every morning wake up with my daughter and play toys with her. You know, that's our jam. We wake up in the mornings and it's playtime. We wake up and I'm either my wife is making breakfast or she's making breakfast, you know, to be present in my daughter's life. Because my daughter doesn't care that her father was traveling all over the world as a world famous DJ or choreographer or producer. My daughter, if I kept doing that, was going to go, why weren't you there for me? And I don't want that. So if I am going to travel, if I am going to go somewhere, we did it together. That's it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, man. You know,
thank you, Earl.
I try to portray this hard image. I'm almost in tears at the end of it because the thing is, I'm a people person. I read people very quickly. And you were sincere about what you just said. You weren't saying that just to say, like, say the right thing. This sounds like the right thing to say. Let me say this. You were saying it from your heart, and it was just a beautiful thing, man.
But yeah. I think we got to, you know, I just advice for people. You know, it's so funny because, and this is not to knock. So I remember this, my first night at Stevens, I'm playing there, right? And this one dancer comes up to me and goes, you're DJing at Stevens like all the time now? I say, yeah, man, this is my residency. And they're like, but why? Like, you know, you could travel the world and you could do this. And I'm just like, you know, you don't get it. And the biggest advice I'm going to give people out there is just to make sure that you don't do things for other, or you don't do things because you want to keep a certain image. You know, that's the biggest advice I give to people. Make sure that you do it and you're happy with whatever it is you want to do. Because when you're happy and you're secure with whatever decision you're doing, everybody will follow. Hello, Earl? Did I lose you? I'm going to stay on for a little second. Hello, Earl. All right, y'all. I'm going to come back. I think we lost Earl. I'm going to come back in 1 second.
Edwin,
we good?
This is crazy. I'm so sorry for it.
Don't worry about it, Earl.
Wow. That's messed up. Because we had a great interview going on, too. Damn.
All good. All good. All good. All good.
What were we talking about anyway? I'm tripping.
No, I was just giving everybody. I hear my echo.
I hear my echo.
Oh, dude. Okay. Okay. Hold on for 1 second.
No problem.
No problem.
Bye, mi gente. Bye, hope you guys are good out there.
Okay, you don't have
any
echo no more, do you?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I do. It's only when I talk.
Well, okay, let's wrap this up then, because I don't know why that's going on.
No, don't worry about it. I was just telling people, you know, to live their life for them. Don't worry about having this image for others. Just you're happy. You're taking care of your family. That's important.
Yeah. Oh, DJ Dola was in the house.
DJ Dola. You're right, but we love you.
Cool. All right, Edwin. So, can you give us a little spoiler on what you got coming up next? You always got something going on.
I can't do that.
You don't want to jinx it until it happens, right?
I let the work speak for itself. I love just dropping stuff. And not talking about what I'm about to do or stuff like that. But the next thing that I'm working on, it's definitely going to be life changing for my family.
Yes. Okay. All right. There you go. Well, you know, when it happens. And well, I got to be asking people some spoilers. Why not just relax and be patient and wait to see what's going on? Edwin, it was fantastic talking to you.
Thank you, Al.
It worked out just like I thought it would. You were busy enough at night on Saturday in Baltimore, so I know you didn't have time to be fooling around with me, but it was great to see you anyway. I appreciate you coming on to my little show. I hope to look forward to talking to you again.
Can't wait.
Have a good evening, Edwin.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.